Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of our look at history of rules of the gridiron, we examine the horse collar rule, what it is, why it was created, and where it can evolve from its current state. And warning, there's some opinion from your host contained within, and it's all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we have a new subject line that we're going to talk about here. We're going to try to do it at least once a week. And the football rules and the history and the origins of these rules really takes us to a fascinating place in gridiron history. And I want to share that with you, maybe share a little bit of my knowledge of officiating and using those rules and some experience. Experiences I had, as we will do today. In today's topic, we're going to talk about the history of the horse collar rule. Now, the history of the horse collar is actually quite short and quite modern. Most of us will remember days when there was no horse collar tackle. And it's sometimes been called the Roy Williams rule after the famous Dallas Cowboys safety, who was known to use the illegal technique after the rule was created, and actually right before the rule was created, to penalize and discourage use of this. And we're going to go into what that rule exactly is here in a second. But the rule against the horse collar tackle, where players pulled down from behind by grabbing the uniform near the neck, was enacted in May 2005 after three such tackles by Williams in a 2004 NFL season and in another preseason game caused injuries to his opponents that he was tackling. A Dallas Cowboys safety Roy Williams grabbed, in one of these cases, Washington Redskins running back Clinton Portis in the first quarter of their NFL game at Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas, September 19, 2005. Thus, Williams was suspended for one game for committing his third horse collar tackle of the season, the National Football League said in a report back then. Now, the NFL made the penalty for the offense of horse collar tackling, a 15-yard personal foul in 2005. The horse collar rule first went into effect in college in 2008, and a year later, the high school level's most prevalent governing rules body for football, the NFHS, instituted the rule in 2009. Now, the horse collar rules are ones that have been tweaked and experimented with quite a bit in the last couple of decades, and the rule is intended to prevent injuries to ball carriers that are abruptly halted by an opponent grasping the inside of their shirts and upper shoulder pads. The jerking motion caused by the collar tackle has been known to cause some devastating injuries, especially in the lower leg areas of the runners. Now, yeah, you wouldn't think that. And when I first heard, when I was still officiating at the time and they introduced the horse collar tackle, I would have thought it would be maybe a neck injury or a head injury or some sort of that. But no, like being choked or something. But no, it was really the abruptness of the ankles and lower leg which really causes this. And I unfortunately was working probably right around that 2009, 2010 when horse collar was first a rule. We were working some scrimmages before the season started at the high school level. And I was on a game where a young man tackled another with a horse collar right around the sideline. A runner was, you know, getting ready to escape right down the sideline. Defender reached out, grabbed the inside back of the collar, jerked him backwards to the ground, And that, unfortunately, that ball carrier ended up breaking an ankle, missing, I believe, what was his senior season. Regardless of what it was, he missed the entire football season, and he was a very promising runner in our area in high school football. So very unfortunate, and could have been prevented had the tackle and the technique been better. Of course, we flagged it in the scrimmage, and would have done enforcement if it would have been a game time. So it just shows you how devastating that injury could be. Now, let's get into what each level of football calls a horse collar tackle. Now, first, the NFL rule book says, no player shall grab the inside collar of the back or the side of the shoulder pads or jersey, or grab the jersey at the nameplate or above and pull the runner towards the ground. This does not apply to a runner who is inside the tackle box or to a quarterback who is in the pocket. Some key elements there. Let's go over the other two levels of the rules and we'll discuss. Likewise, the NCAA ruling on the subject states all players are prohibited from grabbing the inside of the collar of the shoulder pads or jersey, the area or the inside the collar or the side of the shoulder pads or jersey, and immediately pulling the ball carrier down. This does not apply to a ball carrier, including a potential passer who is inside the tackle box. And in 2017, the NCAA added the nameplate area, just like the NFL had, to the horse collar area, no touch section of the runner's person. The NFHS has a high school level rule that is right in tune with the upper levels. It says it is a foul to grab the inside back, nameplate area, or side collar of either the shoulder pads or jersey of the runner and subsequently pull backwards or sideward the opponent to the ground. Even if possession is lost, the horse collar is enforced as a live ball foul. Now, they're good rules, and one of the key elements of the rule at all three levels is that the runner must be brought to the ground as a result of the illegal grab inside the back from the side of the collar area or nameplate area or, you know, the area specified. I think that might be where the fault of the rule is, because there are some examples where runners can be, like my example, the runner running down the sideline. If that defender reaches in there, grabs and pulls back, and the runner does not go to the ground, he escapes, or he gets hit by another player and gets taken to the ground, well, there's no, it's not a horse collar tackle. It had to be the action of pulling on that horse collar act that brought the runner to the ground. And if he escapes and doesn't fall down, there's no penalty. I think that's a little bit of a weakness of the way that rule is written at all three levels. I think that it should be more, in my opinion, more like the face mask rule. If somebody grabs a face mask, offense or defense, and it doesn't have to be the ball carrier, and the face mask is tugged or grasped or in any way, you know, dangerously doing, you're trying to protect the player that is getting offended, it should be a penalty. And a horse collar should be the same way as a face mask rule, in my opinion. It would probably enforce it a lot more, keep people out of that area and change their techniques of the way that they're going to tackle. Also, you know, the NFL rule of saying the quarterback inside the pocket or a runner inside the tackle box at all three levels, you know, it doesn't matter for that if they get tackled inside the tackle box. I believe this maybe might be something they might want to tweak and add to the rule. You know, get rid of that, the elimination of that, because it can still be a dangerous play if a runner is in. Just think about the tackle boxes. It is basically from tackle to tackle before the ball snapped. And it goes back 1 to 2 yards either side of the line of scrimmage, depending on what level you're at. So just think about that. A running back who's inside the tackle box before the snap takes a handoff and starts running off tackle, a defensive nose tackle or guard, a 1 or 0 technique, grabs his inside of his collar and tugs on him. That's not a foul. But if he's on the outside doing it, still the runner could get hurt with that play. And that's my point. I think it needs to be tweaked just a little bit more and to be considered more like the face mask rule is as far as who's eligible to be called for it and the others. And they're going to say, hey, you know, if it's a horse collar tackle, an offensive lineman grabs a linebacker in horse collar tackle. Well, that's not a horse collar. It's holding. But holding is a 10-yard penalty versus and doesn't really incur necessarily injury to the player that's offended. Horse collar definitely is, and it definitely changes the perception, and somebody can get seriously hurt by doing that and end a career or a season, or at least for a long period of time anyway. So I think that is something they should err on the side of safety and change that rule a little bit. Be a much better, safer game and more effective rule, in my opinion. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.